lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy?
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 80. And what we're talking about today is living capital. We're continuing our series on the 8 different forms of capital that Ethan Rowland of Appleseed Permaculture first described in an article on his website. And so if you want to get the original form of this, of course, go to his website. I want to give him the credit for it. But we're continuing our series on that. Today we're going to look at living capital. But before we do that, I want to direct you to a few announcements. First of all, as I mentioned last episode, I want to encourage you to send me any questions that you might have. I'm working on getting a database collection of various questions and answers dealing with people's questions they have about leaving a legacy, whether it be in the areas of farming and permaculture, whether it be in the areas of family and child rearing or marriage, that kind of thing, or about Bible and theology and questions about scriptures, that kind of thing, or whether it be about liberty and freedom. And, you know, all the areas that we talk about here on the Legacy Podcast. If you have questions, I encourage you to email me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, and I will get back with you by email to those questions, but also I will store your question. I won't do it by name, but I will store your question and the answer to it in a database, and I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to present that to the public, but I'm hoping I'll be able to answer them in such a way it'll be helpful to a lot of people. So send in your questions. Second of all, make sure that you're registered as a user on the Legacy Podcast. That enables you to get all the updates when they happen. So anytime that there is a new podcast or a blog or video post, I just put up a video post and a blog post with a link to a video done by Ron Paul, or I don't know, it probably wasn't done by Ron Paul, but it was in recognition of Ron Paul and his stance on war. And so you'll get updated when I put new posts up there. You'll be notified through email, and that will enable you to stay tuned to all the updates and not have to keep checking the website to see if there's a new one. So be sure you're registered as a user. You can do that on the right top corner of the website. Second of all, the affiliate focus for today is envelopes. And let me tell you why the reason I like envelopes. Envelopes is probably the best online budgeting system that I know of. And there are a couple other free versions out there. Mint.com is a free budgeting software out there, but they have categories that are already determined, and you can add a few other ones, but it's a little bit more complicated. It's not quite as good at actually allocating your money and budgeting it in such a way as envelopes is. Envelopes is like an online envelope system, thus the name, and it is excellent at helping you manage your money so that you can then take control of where your money's going and maximize it so that you can store up resources for yourself and for future generations. So check out envelopes. You can do that on the center right column of the website. And then also be sure you're following us on all the various social media and telling your friends and family about us. Continue to get the word out. I'm always looking to grow the audience so that we can have a greater impact upon others for the legacy. And so make sure that others are following us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And then also, if you like the show, I want to encourage you to become a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year, and with that you have access to our exclusive members page, which has right now over $50 worth of value with more to come. And it's a great resource for you to plug in there and get a downloadable book on there about budgeting and software. And then there's some other financial software on there, some farming software, gardening software, that kind of thing. There's also some discounts. And all of that for $30 a year. Plus, you're able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So consider becoming a Legacy Partner. That takes care of the introductory material. So let's go ahead now and talk about the living capital. But I want to just summarize, of course, again, the different forms of capital. First is social capital. Material capital is second. Third is financial capital. Fourth is which is the one we're on right now, which is living capital. Number five is intellectual capital. Number six is experiential or human capital. And number seven is spiritual capital. And number eight is cultural capital. So that's what we're going to be charting over these next few episodes. Now, I'm probably going to take a break here and there. I've got a couple other ones I want to get out, but these were certainly going to be coming up in the near future. But today we're looking at living capital. Now, what is living capital? Living capital is the resources and assets that you have that are living. And obviously there are some that are very clearly living capital that you can probably identify right away, but I'm hoping to also describe a few maybe that you haven't really thought about that are also should be included in this. And I want to just kind of preface it by saying there's this Texas saying. Of course, I've never been to Texas except for, flying in there on Southwest Airlines or something like that, but never really toured the area. But I do know a few Texans. And from what I understand, there's this saying there about someone who has a big hat and no cattle. Well, today we're going to talk about those who have a lot of cattle and maybe a big hat, maybe not, but that really doesn't matter. What we're talking about is living capital. And of course, included in that, of course, is cattle. But I want to just kind of walk through some different types of living capital so that we can have some idea. You can probably think of some other ones that I have not mentioned or that I will not mention that is also included in here. But the first one I want to mention is soil. I know sometimes we think that soil is not living, but it really is. The microorganisms, the worms, all that kind of thing that are found in the soil really makes the soil alive, or at least it should be. Now, if you go to most agricultural systems, if you go to most farms that are monocropped and, maybe they rotate soybeans out with corn or something like that, and they go through and spray everything, and the soil is dead. There's no life in that soil. It's basically just a medium to hold the various nutrients in it and the various sprays and that kind of thing, but there's really no activity going on in the soil. There's no life. But if you go to an organic farm, one that practices permaculture, sustainable practices, something like that, there's going to be real soil and real life in that soil. And so that's what I'm talking about when we talk about living capital. The earthworms, the microorganisms, those things that, if you recall the episode I talked about the nitrogen cycle and how all those different organisms break down the nitrogen within the soil. That's all living matter, living materials, living organisms that can contribute to the soil life. So soil should be alive. And so that's one thing. Second thing I want us to be sure that we are aware of, and sometimes we overlook it, is that, we ourselves are a type of living capital. And, if we are obviously taken out of the picture, then none of this really matters other than what we have left behind to those that we love and organizations that we might care about or something like that. But our life itself is a form of living capital and one that we sometimes overlook. Well, those two may be ones that you're not thought about before, but the rest of these probably you have. And the next category would be livestock. That would be included cows and sheep and goats and swine. All those different kinds of animals would be considered livestock. And obviously, the more of these that you have, the more living capital that you have. In fact, this is the word, we normally think of stock market. And if you talk to a farmer about the stock market, they're not going to they're not going to talk to you about mutual funds or S&P or something like that. They're going to talk to you about, the market down the road that they buy and sell their livestock at. That's the livestock market to them. And, we talk about, stocks as a financial capital, but there's livestock that is also a capital, and that is a living capital. And, there are a lot of people who have a great deal of living capital, even though they may not have a lot of financial capital. They may have, acres and acres and acres of material capital, land, but then they also have on that land, hundreds maybe head of cattle. And that's a great resource that is there, and that would be included in living capital. Sheep, goats would also be considered living capital. And then sometimes there's what's called non-livestock living creatures, and there are certain certain kinds of animals that farmers may have, homesteaders may have, people who advocate permaculture, they may have these on their property, and yet they're not really considered livestock. Of course, chickens is not really considered livestock, or, you know, some counties they consider livestock, other counties they don't. Rabbits, of course, consider pets, they're not considered livestock, and yet those are living capital. But then also dogs and cats, you may have some of those for good purposes or just as pets, those would be considered living capital. Frogs, birds, the more you can encourage those things in life, the better. We had a friend of ours recently who acquired a bunch of tadpoles in their pond, or actually I don't think it was in their pond, I think it was in their swimming pool, and they wanted to get rid of them, and so they got them into a container, and they gave them to my wife. My wife brought them home, and of course we like all kinds of creatures like that. The more diversity of creatures that we have on our farm, the better it is. And so we've got some tadpoles trying to change into frogs in our living room in a container. The kids are enjoying watching that and that process. And so frogs, birds, insects, all of these kinds of creatures are different kinds of living capital. You could go through a list of all the various kinds that you probably have on your property. And sometimes we look at the items that we have. Maybe it's a cow or some pigs or something like that, and that's really all that we consider. But I want you to think about all the various other kinds that are actually contributing to that. The birds that come down and scrape through the manure and get the fallen seeds that were missed by the chickens or, you know, something like that. And so there's all these different kinds of organisms work together symbiotically to be able to increase the habitat and the living conditions of all the other animals. And so that they're all considered living capital. And then also I want us to not forget that the pastures that we have, the prairies, the trees, all of those things are also living capital. I'm not just talking about animals. I'm talking about actually vegetation as well is living capital. And, you know, we are, as a nation, depleting the living capital that was once mountains high. Well, literally not mountains high, but feet high in the Midwest, because there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of bison, American bison, wandering over those areas, eating down the prairie grass, and were hunted and, went to and fro over that area. And as a result, they were able to leave behind their manure, and the grass that was cut, of course, created all kinds of organic matter in the roots and the root mass, and that is what has been deposited in the Midwest. When we talk about the black soil that is found there, it's a result of all the living capital that was invested in that area over thousands of years. And unfortunately, because of the common practices that we have in agriculture today, much of that is being depleted. And it's vitally important that we continue to maintain as well as increase the amount of living capital that is found in the soils and around the soils and in the soils. And so our pastures, our trees, all those things are considered living capital. So what are some things that, before I get on to some of the ways in which we can acquire capital, let me just make a couple of additional points. First of all, God is the author of life. And so when we think about living capital, obviously, he is the one who has enabled us to acquire financial capital and material capital and all the other kinds of capital that we might possess. But most importantly, he is the author of life. He is the one who created life. He is the one who sustains life. And so all living capital is a direct result of the grace of God in one's life. And so we must not forget that, must not take for granted our own lives or the lives of the animals that we have or the vegetation that we have, that it is all held together by the very grace of God. And then also, living capital was the first type of capital over which man was given responsibility. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were given responsibility over the garden to tend it and to care for it. And that was part of their assignment, part of their dominion mandate, part of their task. And so the living capital itself was probably the capital that had the most relationships with man from the very beginning. And then also, living capital is what sustains our own life. When we consume food, we're actually consuming life. That's why when we don't eat a lot of raw foods, or we destroy a lot of the food content, food value in what we eat, our health actually deteriorates. But when we're able to eat live foods, foods that actually contribute to the well-being of our own life, we are actually prolonging our life, because living capital is what really secures our own life. So let's now then change directions a little bit and look at some ways in which we can acquire more capital, or some things that we can do that would enhance the living capital that we currently have. And the first thing I want to talk about is starting a compost pile. I've mentioned this, of course, in previous episodes, but how important is it to be able to take the dead material that we have used in other there may be that needs to be recycled, or maybe material that was once living that now is turned into something else, and now it can go back to the soil and back to the organisms and feed those things that are already alive and be recycled in that way. And so what a great way to be able to continue this carbon cycle and continue the life cycle that was created, and that is by having a compost pile. And real briefly, let me just cover kind of some of the steps of composting piles. And one of the first things you want to make sure is that you mix green with brown or green with yellow. The idea is that the green material, which obviously is green leaves and things like that, but also would be included, that would be manure and food scraps. You mix those things with dry, woody type material, the browns and the yellows, and that enables there to be a proper ratio, which needs to be about 30 to 1 in order for the items to break down in there pretty quickly and to turn into compost. So start a compost pile. Second thing is grow something. And, you know, it's not too late to start now. Now is a perfect time for most of us who live, you know, relatively in the southern parts of the United States. Now's the time to plant your fall gardens. And I live in Virginia, which is, of course, the Mid-Atlantic region, and we can garden all the way up until November, sometimes even some of our items overwinter all the way through and come back in the next spring. And so there's still a lot of time left to garden, and what a great way to contribute to the living capital that you have on your property is by growing things. And seeds are really, really cheap, and right now, of course, there is a sale at Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, which is one of the ones that I recommend that you go to. They've got a lot of heirloom seeds. And if you're a legacy partner, then you have a 20% discount to your first purchase with Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. So make sure it's a big one. And if you're not a legacy partner, of course, you don't have access to that. But Southern Exposure Seed Exchange is a great seed-saving company, and they grow a lot of their own seeds and distribute them then out. And they're designed to be, of course, there's all different kinds, but they're designed to be primarily used in the Mid-Atlantic regions, which is where I am. And that is in part why I recommend them. But they're just a great company. And so seeds are cheap is what I'm trying to say. And that because of that, it's really easy to take something that was once alive that has the capacity for life in itself, the seed, and to be able to plant that and produce more life and more living capital. And so plant something. And then number three, encourage the living things that you already have on your property that would multiply with a little effect. You know, one of the things I've heard and learned is that many of the Native Americans before the white man, if you call them the white man or whatever, however you want to declare the Europeans, whatever it is, came to the New World, many of them were kind of hunter-gatherers, where sometimes they would plant a crop, but most of the time what they would do is they would find wild edibles and they would nurture those wild edibles. So if they found like a grove of, we'll say just blackberries for the sake of argument, they found some blackberries and they would then make sure that they managed those blackberries coming up so that they would continue to have a continuous yield. And so they would encourage the thriving of those blackberries. Same thing would be true if they found, you know, a white acorn tree, an oak tree, or if they found, you know, a persimmon tree, or, you know, just different kinds. They would then nurture and help establish and encourage the growth of those things. And by doing that, they were enhancing the living capital that they were using. And that same principle can be used of us as well. I don't know how big a property you might have. Maybe you just have, you know, a little postage stamp type garden in a suburb or whatever it is. But even in that, you can still have some living capital, and or you can create some living capital based upon what you currently have and enhancing that even more. Now, I know that some places, you know, they consider fruiting trees a nuisance, and then so they'll plant, you know, a non-fruit bearing pear tree or something like that just for the looks. But if you don't live in a situation like that, or even if you do, you can still find areas, corners, nicks and crannies, wherever that might be in your garden, in your yard, where you can begin to create some life in there, that not only life, but a type of substantial life that would enable you to use that life for your own life. And that's living capital. And so let's then look at some things that you can do just starting today, starting tomorrow. And what I encourage you to do is just take a couple of these, maybe one of them even, and decide, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to increase my living capital by doing that. And the first thing is to take inventory of what you currently have as living capital. Take a walk around your yard, take a walk around your garden, look at all that you have and observe. Make sure that you're, you know, looking at those things that maybe you're not considering even as living capital. That would be the organisms under the soil, or maybe the birds that hang around up in the trees around you, or the squirrels that are around you, or whatever it might be. Take an inventory of all the living capital that you have, and then determine ways in which you can enhance that which you already have. And then secondly, determine ways where you can diversify what you currently have with some alternatives, some other ways. And, you know, we talk about financial investments and diversifying within financial investments, but it's just as equally important, if not more important, to diversify with living organisms and diversify with living capital, so that all of your capital is not in one thing, but in multiple. And it gives you a strength that you can't find in like a monocrop or something like that. And so assess where you're weak in your living capital, and then see where you can diversify in the living capital. And then finally, determine how you will acquire more living capital, whether it be planting seeds, whether it be, you know, bartering or buying, or, you know, some other means. Determine the way that you want, or some ways that you choose, to be able to increase your living capital. And when you do, of course, one of the great things about living capital is one of those, if it stays alive, it can pass from generation to generation. You know, financial capital, usually you have to have a beneficiary of that, and it gets passed down, eventually gets taxed or whatever it might be. But with living capital, whether it be, you know, some apple trees that you plant out back, or some blueberry bushes, or, you know, the pasture that you're continuing to nurture and strengthen and develop, whatever it might be, you're able to then keep that life for generations to come. And you could have, you know, five or six generations from you living on a farm or living in a place that has all of these resources available to them, because you took the time to plant something, or to grow something, or to maintain the growth that is already there. And so I want to encourage you to invest in living capital. Invest your time, invest your knowledge, invest your resources, so that you might be able to increase in living capital. And rarely will you go wrong when you take some of the resources you currently have and invest it into living capital. And so I hope that's been helpful to you. I hope you've been able to kind of maybe see from a different perspective some of the resources that are available to you, and ways to increase those resources, particularly when it comes to those things that are living around you. And with that, this has been Steve.
Time after time is a legacy with nothing to show. Our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and lift our hands and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Say goodbye. But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change your legacy?